Hey, New Life. Do you ever feel like we're living in a world of chaos? That things are just like a runaway train charging forward? That actually we find ourselves in a world that feels a bit upside down? You see, Jesus lived in a world like that. The Jewish people who believed that their God was the only God and that they were his chosen people found themselves under the heel of Roman oppression. Now, it's easy when you feel that the world is out of control and in chaos and topsy-turvy to begin to try and protect yourself, isolate, hunker down, developing an us versus them mentality. We also find that in Jesus's day, the Jewish community was beginning to have a very devout faith formulated around the Old Testament Hebrew scriptures. And different groups were interpreting the Old Testament in different ways. And it's not just about interpreting it in different ways, like we see with different Christian denominations today. But it was also asking this question. There are 613 commandments in the Old Testament. What's the priority of them? What's more important, those commandments that relate with my relationship to God, or those commandments that relate with how I relate to other people? It's not that one is important and the other is not, but what is the priority? And as the Jewish people are beginning to identify themselves as a people by their adherence to God's commandments, remember, they feel that the world is chaos around them. So they begin to say, this is who we are. This is how we're different than the world around us. And then internally, they're having these debates on what's the right interpretation of the scripture and what's the priority of the commandments. It created a world where people were drawing lines and defining insiders and outsiders, defining us versus them. The idea of God's mercy was an important idea within ancient Judaism. They believed in it. They taught it. It's in the Bible. The central confession of the Old Testament is the Lord, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. But in a world where you've begun to draw lines and boundaries, we begin to think, well, God's merciful to me and those who are like me, but I want him to bring in line the others. I want his judgment to rain down on those creating the chaos in my world. And it's into that world that Jesus of Nazareth stepped. It's into that world that he brought the messages that we've been studying and talking about. And one of the things about Jesus when it comes to the depth of divine mercy is Jesus is going to take those boundaries and those lines and those barriers and he's going to explode them. We see this in Matthew chapter 5 when he says to his disciples that God causes his sun to shine on the good and the wicked. He sends his rain on the just and the unjust. Jesus looked at nature and saw that God extended the blessing of the sun and the bounty of the rain on both righteous and wicked alike. And he says, therefore, be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. And one of the things that we find, not only does Jesus describe in his teachings this great depth of divine mercy, but by him doing that, he actually creates a mirror for us to look into and realize that God's mercy can be offensive to us. We see that in a parable he tells in Matthew chapter 20. Now, we talked about this parable last week. We talked about it as it related to a call to obedience without thought of reward. But today we want to look at it from the standpoint of the depth of divine mercy, because that's the other side of the parable. In Matthew 20, Jesus tells a parable about a householder who has a vineyard. It's harvest time, and he needs all hands on deck. He goes out early in the morning and hires one group of laborers for a denarius, a day's wage for the day. He goes out subsequently and hires three more groups of people. Finally, the last group he hires with only 1 hour of work left. When it comes time to pay out the day laborers their wages, he calls the steward and says, pay them out. Start with those who work the least amount of time and work up to those who work the most. To those who had only worked an hour, they got a denarius, a day's wage. Those who had worked all day thought, great, we're going to get even more. And yet when their pay came, it was only a denarius, a day's wage. And they grumbled. They grumbled because of the generosity and mercy of the householder. He rebukes them and saying, I agreed with you for a day's wage. You got what's yours, now go. But I'm going to do with mine what I like. And what he wanted for those that had worked only an hour, who had frankly been lazy through the day, he was going to give them a day's wage. That doesn't seem right. That doesn't seem fair. We hear this story, and let's be honest, we're a little irritated with the householder. But that's the point of the story. You see, God's merciful, even to those people we would not want him to be merciful to. God loves those that we would rather draw a line and say they're on the wrong side of that line. Jesus is going to tell another parable, again, about the depth of God's mercy. This is a parable we find in Luke chapter 13, and it's about a fig tree. And he told this parable, a man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, lo, these 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I have found none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground? And he answered him, let alone, sir, this year also, till I dig about it and put on manure. And if it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down. Remember, Jesus is living in a world that is yearning for God's redemption. And that redemption means the removal of the wicked, especially the pagan Romans. And here he tells this parable. This parable about a tree that is not bearing fruit. Yet, the vine dresser asks for mercy. One more year. Give it time. And let's see if it bears fruit. If it doesn't bear fruit, then okay, cut it down. The image of bearing fruit and harvesting in Jesus's parables often reflects, and in the Bible often reflects, judgment. So what's being talked about here is judgment. But yet this story is God's not ready to judge because he's merciful. Today is the day of God's mercy. And it's the day for us to be merciful as well. One of the challenges we find often within our world today, even within the church, is we struggle with this. Because on the one hand, we know that we are commanded to love, even love our enemies, loving sinners. But then we also have this idea of God's holiness and his righteousness and coming judgment. How do we balance this? That's a real tension. And what I would suggest to you is this. In Jesus' mind, judgment was coming. Judgment will come. But today's not the day of judgment. And frankly, judgment is not for you or for me. Judgment is God's domain. It's way above all of our pay grades. God will be the judge because he is the just judge. And the just judge of the world will judge justly. We can never forget that. It's not on us to judge, but today is the day of his mercy. And we need to be the conduits of that mercy. That doesn't mean we have to condone those who do not bear fruit. But it does mean that we need to be merciful and not bring the sword of judgment with us wherever we go. One final parable Jesus will tell, we find in Matthew 13. It's an interesting parable, again, using the imagery of harvest and the period of harvest. And it's interesting that he picks this image of a wheat harvest, because John the Baptist had used the image of the wheat harvest to talk about the immediacy and the expectation of the coming Redeemer, who John thought was to be the judge. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor. The axe is already laid to the root of the tree, because John was looking for an immediate redemption that would bring redemption for the righteous and judgment on the wicked. Jesus doesn't agree with John's timeline, because for Jesus, today is the day of God's mercy. And God wants that all will come to a knowledge and walk in obedience to him. So he tells this parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the householder came and said to him, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then has it weeds?" He said to them, "An enemy has done this." The servant said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" Meaning the weeds. But he said, "No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Jesus tells this parable to combat the ideology we see with John the Baptist. This ideology that is yearning for redemption for the righteous, our group, but also expecting judgment and vengeance upon those who are outside of us. And here in this parable, no, now's not the time. Let them grow up, and then at the harvest time, that's when the separation will come. Jesus sees today as the day of God's mercy. Now is the period of God's mercy, and he's merciful to all of us. Sinner and saint alike, righteous and unrighteous, we all benefit from the rains that fall and the sun that shines. That is a sign of God's mercy on all of us. We can't afford, in this day and age that we live in, even as chaotic as it feels, as topsy-turvy and out of control as it seems, we cannot afford to draw us versus them lines. Not if we're going to reflect the depth of God's mercy. We want him to be merciful to us. We want him to come to us even in our deepest, darkest despair. But never forget, the same God that pulled you out of the pit you were in wants to do the same thing for that person that you may not understand, that you may not agree with, that you may not like. We cannot afford, as followers of Jesus, to ignore the depth of God's divine mercy. We need to reflect it, and we need to be challenged by it.